Reverend Horace Sheffield. And by the way, I don't see that name very often, but just to let you know, Horace, my middle name is Horace. I get a lot of grief for it, but it was my favorite uncle, so I appreciate it very much.
They obviously don't know the etiological etymology of Horace. Horace, H-O-R-U-S, was Isis's son, who was the incarnate son who walked upon the earth. And the Eye of Isis is on our dollar bill, and some say that the whole Christian faith is modeled after the cult of Isis, so they just don't know who you are.
Well, now they know. Thanks so much for being on the program. Now, the Reverend Horace Sheffield is the host of the Real Talk television show On the Line. Tell us about that radio show.
Well, we've been on the air about 10 years, and we try our very best to disseminate truthful, factual information to our listeners so that they can form and foment their own opinions. A lot of talk radio, as you well know, the host interprets data and facts, but our goal in Detroit, hopefully, is to get people to have the right information so they can make the right choices.
Well, amen to that. That's what we strive to do here. And for folks, again, it's called The Real Talk Television Show and On the Line Radio Show. Well, Martin Luther King Day gives us a chance to honor a very significant individual in history. And I wanted you to give your take on the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Well, you know, I was blessed to know him. My father began a relationship in 1956, and in fact, the first time he came to Detroit was for a meeting with Walter Reuther, who my father worked for, the UAW, and that's all of the Charles Wright Museum as well as the Boston Papers. But here's the thing. We reduced King to civil rights, you know, public accommodations and things of those nature, when in reality, toward the end of his life, he was working on the Poor People's Campaign, and even in a speech that he made in 1966, said of all the forms of inequality, injustice in health care is the most shocking and inhumane. I had a chance to go to Chile this past year and visit some Chiquita banana plantations, and even every worker there who makes probably, you know, in 1 year what some of us make in a week, had top-tier health care. And so people in our country who are unemployed, who don't have the means, basically their quality of life and lifespan is imperiled by a lack of insurance.
Why do you think that there are so many who have been against affordable health care?
Well, you know, we live in a country that prides itself on profit. And even in the healthcare industry, profits or the margin of income over expenses is very important. So it's fueled by income. And therefore, you know, people who don't have the ability to pay for services are not valued as those who have top-tier insurance. And that's unfortunate because it says that certain lives or certain people have more value than others.
You know, the two topics that come up from people who have challenges with affordable health care is, one, how to pay for it, especially in troubling economic times. Everyone has to tighten their belts when this happens. And then also, there are those who think that people should handle their own health care, that it's not government's role to take care of everyone who can't take care of themselves, especially those able-bodied folks. How would you respond to that?
Well, I mean, the marketplace does not dictate that healthcare providers or health insurance companies be concerned about folks who are unable to pay. I mean, they basically concentrate their efforts on those who can. So we need a third party. I mean, it's not unlike a part of our American history when the Social Security system was set up or other entities, Medicaid, Medicare, et cetera, to be able to make certain that what we see as a fundamental right, and that's really the issue here, is it a fundamental right, are actually provided for and are insured. So I think the cost, of the uninsured who are treated at the expense of the public, I mean, those are all palatable incentives for why we need to you know, cover this gap of people who are uninsured. I mean, it costs more, quite frankly, for them to be treated uninsured than it does for them to be insured.
And so the focus on some of the items that you're going to be talking about is specifically ending health care inequity, a part of King's dream.
Right.
Martin Luther King Jr. is going to be a focus for you during the next few days.
Well, I've got several speaking engagements. Actually, my major theme for this whole weekend is called Changing Conditions or Chasing Circumstances. You know, Dr. King was about changing conditions and not chasing circumstances. We can put more people back to work. We can insure more folks. But the real thing we need to change is our whole view toward whether we're responsible for people in our American economy who have been displaced, who are chronically unemployed. We can bail folks out of Beirut. You know, we can spend billions of dollars in Iraq and Iran, but we can't spend a dime on Mac and BWIC in Detroit or something. Totally wrong with that picture. And healthcare fits right in with that.
And Reverend Sheffield, before I let you go, just wanted to get your take. Do you think Detroit needs an emergency financial manager?
Well, I had the mayor on my show, who happens to be a friend of mine and someone I support, and I said to the mayor 3 weeks ago, I said, "Mayor, what you need to tell Governor Snyder and everybody else is that we don't need an emergency financial manager. You're the mayor, and you were elected to manage emergencies." I think that what people don't really take into consideration is right across the street from our city government's headquarters is General Motors, the largest corporation in the world, one time and the most wealthiest, put the world on wheels and ran out of gas and needed the federal government to bail it out. And it's not as if all of what we're facing in Detroit is based on mismanagement. It's based on decades of decline and neglect, people abandoning the city, people not paying taxes. Look at all, even Lear Corporation, for example, that left the property over on Epworth Retirement, and then we had to pay to clean it up. I mean, these places have left without paying taxes. I mean, it's not just mismanagement. I mean, certainly it's not the will sometimes of elected officials to do what they have to do and make deep, consistent cuts simply because of, you know, unemployment would certainly go up and their families would be concerned about. But at the end of the day, if we don't have a solvent city, eventually people who are working will have a job at all.
We've been talking with the Reverend Horace Sheffield, who's the pastor of the New Destiny Baptist Church in Detroit. Thanks so much, Reverend Sheffield.
I appreciate being on your show, my friend. If you're ever in Detroit, come on and sit down and be on mine.
I'm going to take you up on that. Thank you, sir.
Okay.